Now, why don't we start, though, with the basics? Describe the components of a bee colony and then the gist of what beekeeping is all about.
Well, you have three classes of bees in a beehive. You've got the worker bees, which are the vast majority of the bees, 85% or more. The drone bees, which are the male bees. Their whole lot in life is to breed virgin queens. And you have, they're about 15%. And then you have the queen bee, who is the mother of everyone.
And then what's beekeeping all about?
Beekeeping all about is, it's hard to say, you know, it depends on what your focus is, whether you're trying to make money or have fun.
Now, most of our listeners will know about bees principally through what's been in the news of late and perhaps going back 10 years, this phenomenon called honeybee colony collapse disorder. Is there yet a consensus on the cause or the variables that attribute to the problem?
I don't believe so. Originally, they thought it might be some novel pathogen, but they couldn't find it. So now they've moved on to other things.
That your focus will be on frozen North America, does climate play a part?
The poster child of CCD, colony collapse disorder, is from Pennsylvania, but he keeps his bees in Florida for the winter. And he had huge losses for many years in the last 10 years, including this year, where he's lost 90% of his bees already. And I'm in northern Vermont on the Canada border, and I lost 10% of my bees.
And though we're talking about bees, to look at the larger ecology, of course it's not just bees in isolation. Do beekeepers work with horticulturalists and botanists for, say, tree maintenance and preservation, or bushes or flowers and such?
I would say no. I mean, it would be a good idea, and we can try to get city planners to plant species that are good for bee forage. It doesn't always work out that way.
As you invoke cities, let's talk about the phenomenon of, I think, what's called urban or city beekeeping,
yeah,
and how it differentiates
rooftop beekeeping,
and how it differentiates from, say, what you're doing up in Vermont.
A lot of it comes down to forage. You know, what the bees are foraging on. And I wonder if the part of the problem with CCD or the large losses that we're seeing now in beehives is because of lack of forage. Our countryside, our farms are turning into cornfields. They're turning into monocrop agriculture. They've taken out the hedgerows. All the good honey plants are in the hedgerows. And now we have corn, which the bees don't work, soybeans, which the bees don't work, or alfalfa, which the farmer cuts three or four times and the bees never get a flower to work on.
Before we started this conversation, you told me that you now go all over the country and we're indeed world with these kinds of symposiums and forums. Did you once upon a time have a principal mentor to guide you?
I did. When I first started, though, the old men in my neighborhood, the beekeepers, they really weren't beekeepers. They were beehavers.
Well,
a beehaver is someone that has bees in the backyard. And a beekeeper is somebody that knows how to manage those bees, keep them healthy and productive. And if their beehives get diseases and they aren't managing their bees, and the diseases get out of hand, and my bees go rob their honey out of their dead beehives and bring the disease spores back to my hive, there is a disease that you can only cure it by burning your beehive. And so this is a huge problem. Or a huge possible problem on the horizon with all the new beekeepers that are coming online. You know, I think it's great that we have all these beekeepers coming online, but unfortunately, most of the new beekeepers haven't got a clue about what a honeybee brood disease looks like.
So which is it? On balance, is it better that we have this online avail now, or is it doing more damage than good?
I think it's good to have the increase of beekeepers because it gives us a bigger voice, but it also puts us at risk, all of us at risk. And so what we need now is a proper bee inspection service from the state agriculture departments to go out and check with these new beekeepers and look at their bees and have education.
But in general, do you find a growing cohort of folks who are interested in this, either as an avocation or?
Oh, it's growing huge. It's exponential right now. To give an example of the Vermont Beekeeper Association, about 10 years, 15 years ago, we had our summer meeting and we had 20 people show up. And then CCD happened. And everybody wants to do their bit to save the bees for the world. And so everybody wants to have beehives. And now our membership, we just finished our meeting. We must have had 200 people. So, yeah, it's a great thing. And now if we can just get them educated, which is my focus, which is why I bother going to Philadelphia and wherever.
And clearly you have been successful, but are there other methodologies and other proponents who are espousing variations of what you are holding to be a correct approach?
Of course. Of course. And part of the issue is buying mass-produced bees from a climate where you're not keeping the bees. You know, for instance, buying mass-produced bees from Georgia and trying to keep them in Pennsylvania
Vermont.
Or Vermont, you know. Now, we need bees. We need bee stocks where the queens have been selected from breeder queens that have the ability to winter in our climate. And if we're buying all our queens mass-produced from the state of Georgia or Texas or South Carolina, whose breeder queens, the mother queens, have never been selected for wintering in the north, how can we expect to get a large percentage of those bees through the winter in the north?
What are some of the other topics that will be taken up tomorrow at Temple at the symposium?
I think there's going to be some talk about queen rearing. And, you know, this is one of the biggest things that challenges that we have now is trying to get folks to start queen rearing programs, whether it be individuals or whether it be groups, trying to convince them. So
why does it require convincing? Why is it such a challenge?
Because you can plop your credit card down and buy a queen bee from Georgia anytime you need it. It's a queen bee, isn't it? It lays eggs, doesn't it? But if the colony dies in the winter...
Of what good was it?
Exactly.
Mike Palmer, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.